irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, August 27th. It's already friggin' hot, I'm telling you, or don't you think?
It is hot.
You know, I mean,
it is hot.
Yeah, I don't know how I can stand it, but the heat really makes me tired.
Yeah.
In the winter, I never take naps, you know. In the summer, every day I have to take a nap.
Yeah. Well, it's hot and dry.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Hot and dry, hot and moist. It doesn't matter.
But, you know, in Israel, it's very moist.
Yeah.
In Israel, you just go out the airport. There's like a wind of like.
Right. Yeah.
You're just, oh my God.
Humid. It's humid there, you know, and that makes it difficult.
I prefer it dry.
Yeah.
I prefer it. This weather is like, you're hot, but it's dry. Right. That's okay.
Yeah. I'll find something else eventually. I'm getting tempted moving out of California. Everybody else seems to. I've talked to a few people and, you know, it's getting too expensive to live here, you know, and there's a lot of problems. What problems other than drinking water, clean water? homelessness,
very
expensive here.
Yeah.
You know.
And you can't drink or bathe in the water without having a filter.
And no plastic straws.
Oh, man. How badly did you need it? Let's talk about that. But what about the turtles, guys? What about the turtles?
What about the turtles?
I love turtles, man. I would never hurt a turtle.
So what's wrong with them?
That's why they banned the straw. Well, that's why they banned the straws.
Because of the turtles, right?
That's what I read.
I don't know.
Yeah, the turtles eat them.
Yeah.
They eat them, and then it gets stuck in their digestion. They die. The turtles, because they go in the sea. Mm-hmm. So all the sea animals choke on them.
That's a story.
No, that's why they banned them. I'm going to find out right now.
Okay, we'll find out.
We don't have to do it right now. Okay.
Okay, but before we, I don't want to alienate our guest here because she's already wanting to talk. And I know when people are dying to talk. We're joined by Laura Nickerson. Welcome to the show, Laura.
I want to talk about turtles.
I know. Let's see. What do you have to say about turtles?
I represent the turtles in a legal case, and it was my doing that we banned all straws. So
no straws.
Sorry, guys.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, Laura and I have known each other for like almost 12 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And because Laura was here in the beginning when we launched the station, we were downtown.
Yes.
Wow.
On the 36th floor. Ugh. And Laura was a pioneer from day one, you know?
Yeah.
And we connected. And I told you yesterday they started the show. Like you guys sort of pictured what, The View or something?
We decided to make a show that was basically The View, and it was women on the radio. This was before we had podcasting, really, right? This was
nobody called it podcasting.
No.
We were doing internet radio.
Yeah,
nobody else was doing it.
No, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, they'd always say to me, my friends would go, "How do I hear this?"
Yeah.
I go, "Well, you can download it. How do you download it?" And
right.
I was like, "It's
and
okay,
on
it's
the
a
computer."
Thing.
Yeah, I know they had to listen on the computer today. You have the phone and everything.
Yeah.
It's very simple. You know?
And now everyone's like, oh my God, I have a podcast.
Everybody has a podcast.
Everybody
Did you hear my podcast
that.
About how I do my shoes in the morning?
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah, so many guys.
Yeah.
I would say this is like the modern way for some guys to ask you on a date. They ask if you want to be on their podcast.
Yeah,
I was
right?
like, just ask. Like,
that's
what?
A good, that's
is that a thing? Because I haven't dated. I've been together with my husband now 20 years. So I haven't dated in 19. No, I'm kidding.
You should totally be on my podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? You don't even know what I do.
I don't understand dating now. It scares the crap out of me.
Right.
I would be a mess. I tell my husband that all the time. I'm like, don't leave me because you could not handle the dating apps. It would not work at all for
you.
We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very hard. I mean, I'm back in the single scene, you know.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah,
I've been
divorced for 5 years
I'm
already.
I'm so sad about that.
Come on.
Seriously?
Yeah, five years
already.
Oh, my God.
Already.
You should be happy. People don't get divorced because they were happy.
No,
they get divorced because they're
You've got a point there, lady. I got a point.
Yeah. You know,
that's what I say.
The thing is, we stayed best friends, you know. And,
oh, that's good.
But it kind of stopped me from moving on. I sort of like, do you know I still have to put closure on this thing? After
what do you
5 years.
On your divorce?
Yeah, like sort of like because we're very close. We're family. Uh-huh. We've become family. You know, I go see her family. She goes see my family. But we're not married because we can't get along.
Yeah.
So, but being married, we can't get along. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if she's dated. I know I've dated a little bit, but we're sort of both stuck. We're not, we don't feel, I don't think it's an unspoken thing, but neither
but
one of us has pursued anything serious, mm-hmm. probably because the other one is in our lives, you know, each other.
Sure.
So.
It's hard.
So we need to wrap this one up.
I would be terrified today.
Right?
I would.
Scary.
Because I've gone from being the young hot woman to the middle-aged lady in the time I've been off the market. Right. I'm not ready to re-enter the market as a middle-aged lady.
It's and it's also
hard,
L.A.
Laura. It's very hard, yeah. You know, because now people have formed their opinions. They've got families. They've got baggage now. You know, it's not as simple as when you're in your 20s, 30s, you get married, everything's fresh. Fresh and new, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, very cool. So, you've been married for 20 years now?
Well, we've been married for 15. 16. Oh. Oops, sorry.
But
wait,
you've known each
math.
Other for 20.
We've been together for 20, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Two kids and
I know.
House
congratulations.
And dog.
And you guys seem happy.
Yeah, super happy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I chose that's well, good. Though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I kissed a lot of frogs. I knew when I found the good one, I was like, you... I'm not going back. So I think he felt the same way too. So yeah, right. I'm lucky though. I think that marriage is challenging and having
really
kids is hard and it's great, but you know, you have to both be in it to win it. If you're not both in it to win it, you're going to fall apart.
That's true, right? You both want to have to, because eventually people change, whether you change apart or you change closer together. I guess depends on really how you get along,
yeah.
You know?
My parents met when they were 18. They're having their 50th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Really? They're the mm-hmm. same age?
Yep. They met in college. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, you know, they have this great marriage. And they, of course, everyone goes through stuff. But for them, they were so young when they met that it was just in a lot of ways kind of luck mm-hmm. that as they grew into adults and they changed in yeah. that part of their life, that they changed in a way that suited each other.
Right.
Because I could just see, like, who are you at 18? I was an idiot at 18.
Right.
I was
yeah.
an idiot at 30.
You're like the
you
worst
know?
Version of yourself.
Oh,
you
God.
Think you know it all. You don't know anything.
You're a jerk.
You get wasted. You're an asshole.
You're yeah. a total asshole.
You're an
yeah.
asshole.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you think, yeah, I mean, I've... My kids are over that age, but I'm still seeing the assholeness.
That's why I told you, for example, in Israel, they send them to the army
yeah.
at
oh, okay.
18. And I said it builds character because that's the age when you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
all you get to hear is no.
Yeah.
No. For
yeah.
for 2 to 3 years, whatever you want, no.
They'll make you tough, huh?
So- I'm going to start using, though, as a 3, because I have a new teenager.
Yeah.
I'm going to start threatening to send him to the Israeli army. How about that?
Exactly.
Mom's sending you to the army.
That's
Israeli army.
All together.
Let me tell you, it's good. I always say it makes a man more of a man and a woman more of a man.
Yeah. it turns everybody into
men. I don't know if it's good or bad, but.
But, yeah. So, very cool. How many kids do you have? 2, 3?
Two.
Two
boys.
Two
I'm
boys.
Surrounded by men.
Yes, you are. How
yeah,
is that?
So manly. Oh, God. That I learned a lot, though. I've learned a lot about men from having boys
right.
that I wish I knew when I was dating.
Right,
because
right.
I understand men in a totally different way right
really?
Now than I did. Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, y'all are sensitive. You are.
Yeah,
you
guess.
Have feel. No,
depends.
You have feelings.
Oh well, yeah.
Big
you know.
Feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
We think you know. By the time they come to us, you know, we're like, oh, they don't feel anything. They don't care about anything. They're just jerks, you know. And I was like, oh no, they're very emotional. They're very sensitive. They take everything in. Mm. They really do. So I learned a lot about guys that way.
So it's just a facade that men put on. Where
well,
they
men
don't
are conditioned
show.
To
yeah,
to
I'm
not
conditioning.
Like society conditions them to not really show emotion because yeah. that makes you seem weak or something like that.
Right.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Feminine.
It's changing, though. You know, I will tell
yeah.
you this. The Z's are badass.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. The millennials are, you're a millennial, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. They're, you know, work in progress. A lot yeah. of them, not all. I'm a Gen Xer, and we're totally lost at this point. But but the Gen
isn't
Z
everybody?
Kids, they're really progressive. They're so thoughtful. They're smart. They're really, mm-hmm. like, I think they're going to be the generation that changes things. I really
yeah.
do. And I'm not just saying that because I'm raising them. I really do think they're aware of things that we never even thought about.
Right.
I'll tell
right.
you.
But I think it's true with every new generation, wouldn't you say, Laura? I mean, you know,
yeah.
our generation now, we know a lot more than our parents did and so forth.
There's one thing that's different, though.
Yeah.
our generation, your generation, my generation, lived through a revolution, right? The technology, the information revolution. So it's not just a difference between generation to the, it's not just like the jump. It's also a generation that has lived half or a little more of their lives without computers, technology and all that.
Right.
And then half their lives through a revolution that went like this.
Right. But what about the creation of the cotton gin? I mean, those people, that blew their mind.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I would agree and disagree because every generation has had something huge.
Exactly.
Cars, television, the 50s,
right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, it seems like it's more because we're in it, but I'm sure it was pretty revolutionary. The Industrial Revolution was pretty life-changing, too.
And
so.
Right.
We don't
but
know
I'm
what's going to happen with this generation, too. You know, I mean,
they're going to be
well,
a mess.
This generation,
have major revolution. But I'm really worried about artificial intelligence, AI. I read more and more about it, and all the big leaders like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and all those, they're all warning us about AI and if it's ever used for evil.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You watch Terminator too many times.
No, really.
It's
a real thing.
This
is like trends now. I'm reading like nonfiction books. And no, Laura, it's really coming. You know, I mean, think about it. We have machine intelligence now. They're saying that eventually machines will reach what they call singularity, which is they'll be even with humans as far as their ability, their mental abilities or whatever, right? And what are we going to do then? You know, what if they turn on us and they say, we don't need you anymore? You're right. It's like the Terminator, like the Matrix. But the thing is this, is that how can it be any different? Look where we're going.
Well,
you know? I mean, they're making robots that are like, did you know that there's whorehouses in Japan where people go to have sex with dolls?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
But that,
You know, if you go to a whorehouse, you might as well get a real woman, right? But they go there to be with dolls. And what I'm saying is the human condition has changed completely, right?
Yeah.
Well, in relation.
So they're going to have, I don't want to live beyond what my years. I have about 25 years left or so. I don't want to live beyond that. I don't want to see what the world's going to be like. I don't know.
No robot whorehouses for you.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I'll be under the ground with the worms.
You know, but in relation to the singularity, the singularity actually says that it's going to be a point that all the laws are changing. All the laws, and they don't know if it's going to be utopia or dysutopia.
Most of the people
think it's going to be dysutopia. It's going to be bad, right? Because the robots are going to kill us. We're going to be slaves to the robots. Something's going to happen, right? But you don't know.
No.
But we're at this point where it's still controlled by human beings. And in theory, I mean, yes, we have the movies, and the movies have the bad corporation that wants to do whatever. But the point of what people are doing is trying to improve lives, you know, and they're still at the helm. If they start to see that they personally are losing their ability to control, they'll shut it down because people by nature want to control.
Yeah, but at a certain point, we may not be able to because the machines can, because already machines control things. You know what,
though? I've seen robots. I've actually, this is not
going
to be surprising.
But I'm talking about robots, not that look like robots, but think of the cars. Like they have self-driving cars. If terrorists hack this and they make cars do whatever they want, they create chaos, right?
You know, there's a whole, one of the biggest industries right now is cyber protection. And they take actually a lot of Israelis from 8200, the unit in the army. They put them in, you know, Silicon Valley and all these cyber protections. I saw an article on Vice how you can basically hack a car and make it do whatever. That's even nothing. You can hack, let's say, an oil factory. And fuck with the and something happens, like a huge thing happened. So now it's a big thing. Is cybersecurity is huge. Yeah.
No, Laura, I'm all with you. She wants roses and flowers and unicorns and stuff. But you know what?
I did not come in here to defend the robots, guys.
To be depressed.
That was not my original intention.
I know, we're depressing her to death.
She's like, what is going on?
God, now I got to go home and cry for an hour.
Go ahead. You started saying something, but you said about robots, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you going to say about
I would
it?
Like a robot in my house.
Yeah.
I would like a robot that will clean my house and do all those things, but I have co-hosted with a robot. I know that sounds weird, but it's actually true. And I will tell you that robots are nowhere near
right.
the technology that people think.
Yeah.
They're not even you see one robot, there's a team of 10 people. You know, behind that running. Robot making that happen. They're nowhere near that now. Right. Anyway, I mean, they may get there eventually, but
right.
I mean, these people watch Terminator. They know what can happen.
Right. But what I'm saying is don't think of robots as like looking like human. They can be just machines.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got a robot vacuum.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
I support those kinds of robots. Those are robots that help people.
Exactly.
You can send that to my house and I will test it for you. And if it takes over and does my dishes too, I'm fine.
That's fine.
Exactly.
Fine.
You'll take that too. Right?
Let me tell you. I saw a documentary on Netflix about fuckable robots. Can I say that on air? I'm sorry. Fuckable robots.
You cannot say it on air. It's too late.
Not when Laura's here.
And so they interview this guy and he goes, you know what? That's cool and all, but I'll be honest. It looks too masculine. So I don't want to touch it. Looks too masculine. I was like, dude, you're on a documentary on Netflix about fucking robots.
Right, and he doesn't want to touch it.
You're more concerned about people thinking you're fucking robots than people thinking you're gay or something.
Right,
because it's like, not I'll fuck a robot, but not a manly robot. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, we've already lost our respect for you. Go ahead. Make it whatever you want. Make it look like Justin Bieber. We're fine with that, you know, at this point.
You know, deep in, like, underneath everything, they're all the same.
Right. Men or robots?
The robot. Both.
Both, check. Right? Yeah. So, Laura, you've been in radio for quite a while and hosting in general, right?
I got my start here. Yes. Well, I got my start in radio here.
Really?
At LA
so
Talk
that
radio.
Was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I had done a lot of hosting at that point, and I was wanting to do a radio. I think because I was into The View, and I thought it would be really cool if we had a radio version of this.
Right.
And they didn't at the time. They've tried it 100 different ways since then, but at the time they didn't. So this came across. And I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, we had a little, we decided, I wanted to make a pilot. So I took my husband's boom mic because he has a production company.
Right.
I took his boom mic and I brought in some women that I thought would be really diverse and interesting and fun. And we sat in his office and we did this little pilot. And it was, we spent probably 25 minutes talking about toilet seat covers and how they move off. You know, when you try to sit on them, they fly away, and it's the wind created by your pants that blows them away. So we had a long conversation about that, and then I don't even remember how I came across you, but we met each other.
It was a Craigslist.
Was it Craigslist?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
that's
why
I got. Yeah, that's how I got the first few hosts on the show. If you remember, there was Dr. Michelle. And there were a few, which Dr. Michelle is still here.
Is what about Greg Rempe from Barbecue Central, my favorite guy?
He still does a show, but now he's on his own. He does Facebook Live, graphics, the whole thing.
Yeah, every time I get a radio job, he asks me to plug him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, they won't let me, but that sounds great.
Yeah, I know. No, he's got, and the funny thing is, he was one of the first as well, and he had a barbecue show. And everybody that heard that goes, what? The barbecue show? How much can you talk about barbecue? Well, 12 years later, he's still talking about barbecue, and he's big in his niche, you know?
And it's all about niche.
Yeah.
You know, then it was about kind of this entertainment was so different 12 years ago. Now it's all, you know, I'm a barbecuer, not a griller, who does it on Sundays, and I wear purple pants. And then, like, you can make a podcast out of that because there are purple pants people barbecuing who want to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. There's everybody out there, right? So the show was called Broad Topics, which was pretty cool. And you guys actually had also made it a point to have a liberal and a conservative on the...
We did. We went through a couple different casts in the beginning. And now when I look at that, a couple of things. I would not be able to call it Broad Topics anymore. That the word broad, if you put the word broad on the internet, people freak out.
Really?
Which I never, because they think it's sexist to say, call somebody a broad.
Yeah,
because
I thought broad is like.
Well, it was both. It was a play on words.
Oh, gotcha.
That's slang, pretty much.
You can't say it anymore. But you could then. And we always said we kind of were owning it because it was all women in the staff and all women in the show. And it wasn't like we were you know, having right. some, you know, guy. And
there's nothing
like,
wrong with
broad.
Saying that. I mean, you know, yeah. people are making their language like offensive.
Words. Yeah, you know what, though? To me, better safe than sorry. I yeah. can deal with that. I would much mm-hmm. rather see the change we've seen over the last 5 years than lose my title of a show I'm not doing anymore. I'm good with it, you know.
Yeah.
But we
yeah.
did a
but
bunch of
But you don't
different...
have a problem with people telling you how to talk, though? You know? I mean, oh. it's like a lot of words that...
No.
No?
No.
Okay, cool.
I don't have a problem with it because... the results are so much more important than the words, in my opinion. You know what I mean? We fought. Yeah. My mom is a feminist. I'm a feminist. We have been fighting this fight since suffragettes, you know,
right.
like, just to be treated normally like a human right. being. And things have come so far. And if I have to not use one word or if I have to not use different words to describe different cultures or races or whatever, if that gives one person like a feeling of respect,
right.
I'm cool with that. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't need to use those words. Whatever. You know, if I offend somebody, it's always not my intention.
Right.
And I always want to backpedal quickly because I have said really dumb stuff.
Right.
But to
but
me,
she's
I'm
a
like,
very nice woman. I mean, you can
I am
see,
pleasant.
You know, and polite with people and stuff, you know. But
yeah.
that's good. I mean, you've kept a wholesome image, which is very important.
Really? You think so?
I think so.
Yeah, I do a lot of more news and
right.
I did a lot of like mom blogging and things like that. I am not. A wholesome
I know.
Person.
I know.
You know,
you,
I'm
but...
not a judgy. I'm not a judgy person. I'm not that like perfect mom or anything like that. But
right.
I do worry about I've had certain jobs where I represent like a city or a group and I have to be really careful about that.
Of
Plus
course.
My kids. I don't want my kids to look back at
right.
stuff I do and go, oh my God, my mom just said something like blank
right.
because they have feelings too. So I'm very sensitive to other people's
That's
feelings.
Really good.
So I'm a people pleaser. It's my
yeah.
worst fault.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, yeah, you know.
Yeah. But I'm like I have friends on Facebook. I've been friends with the superintendent of my school district since forever. And I always think if I can't put something up there that my superintendent would like have a problem with, I have to not use
yeah.
it. He's my line. He
yeah.
doesn't know that, but he's yeah. my bar.
That's so the thing to... with Facebook now. You can't put everything you want because
yeah,
your
like...
grandma there and your aunts and the superintendent and all.
And not safe for work,
it's,
you know? That's
yeah.
pretty much just
Well, and
stuff,
people
yeah.
come back at you. So say I get one job and then the next job and then the next job.
Yeah.
And people go back. I have a on-air job right now and I have people who find me. And they'll go back and watch stuff I've done. They'll go back and listen to things I've said.
Yeah.
And I've got one creeper, which has been frightening. And I have to be incredibly careful now because
wow.
I don't want to put pictures of my kids. I don't want to say their names. I don't want to say where they go to school. You know, because now people are finding me. And
yeah.
that scares the crap out of me.
Wait, but
so,
you know on Facebook
you, know
you can restrict everything.
You can.
But
you
Google.
Don't want to.
But there's Google. There's
yeah.
a lot of
you
things.
Can,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, and
it's,
Twitter and Instagram.
Once it's online,
Facebook.
It's
yeah,
done.
Exactly.
Yeah. You just have to be
done.
Smart about that. And it's
yeah.
not worth it to me. Like, I don't get any big win out of going out there and airing my dirty laundry because
exactly.
I'm mad at my husband that day or somebody cut
yeah.
me out on freeway. And
yeah, people don't
cares?
Need to know that,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
They don't need it.
I know. People write anything. I mean, it's like, really? You know? I mean, I don't want to know you're going to sleep now.
But see, that's the difference, Sam, between you and me and you, right? Because
yeah, I put a lot of stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah, because
you reveal a lot about yourself. Would you say?
Yeah, because I'll tell you what. A lot of times, the people who follow you or / your fans or whatever, you make them feel
do that.
Because like, you have people that look up to you. You have people that as an artist or you know as a radio. Persona, you have people listening to what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a song. Why do people sometimes listen to a song? To feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm doing spoken word, if I'm a comedian and I tell jokes, I usually either self-deprecate
mm-hmm.
or just tell jokes about just being human or society or something that's fucked up that I think I should put light of. And that's what makes people feel better.
Right.
But I'm a comedian, so that's I'm supposed to.
Exactly.
So
you know.
Can't be a comedian and not to say
yeah.
Well, but too, I think it's my husband and I talk about this all the time. But as a generation, we are the millennial generation are a lot. They put everything out there.
Yeah,
that's
share.
How you communicate.
That's, yeah,
I said,
share.
You know, you go to the gym and you see like the women, you know, the guys too, but they lift up their shirt and like snap a selfie or they have someone else like take a selfie and they post it. And you know, we watch that and we're like horrified. But you wouldn't be horrified because
yeah.
that's totally normal
yeah.
right.
in that generation. Or to have someone post, I'm so depressed today. Please tell me. You know,
yeah,
I'm great. We would be embarrassed by that, our generation,
that's
but
true.
Your generation isn't.
It's an
so
acceptance
it is a
thing.
Generational thing.
Yeah, I think so. It's a communication
to,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll feel that way, but I just won't let anybody know about it.
Yeah, exactly. But then the younger generation would be shy in social situation, physical social situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? They will, like, you know.
They won't talk to each other face to face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where all the already, you know, meeting apps come and dating apps come in hand and meetups and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
You just wait till your kids get older and move out and see how easy it is to actually get them on the phone.
Oh, really?
It's like texting is the only way, you know what I mean? Either you see him in person or text him.
Oh, yeah. Nobody calls anymore.
They don't
want to
talk
insane.
On the phone.
Yeah.
You know?
And they get annoyed at you if you call.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you call this thing I'm using? What is it? Why does it ring like that? You know?
Because then, you know, you have to respond to the person in the exact second. That was a conversation instead of a text where, like, they can send you something and you can think about it. Or sometimes people don't even respond.
Right.
Yeah.
That's also a thing
it's control,
now.
Control, though. You get to control that conversation. If you're texting or emailing or whatever, you can think about it for a second and you can present what you want to present. Whereas when you're talking, you can't
necessarily.
You have to
be quick.
You have to, if you're going to fake it, you got to fake it fast.
Right.
And some people are better than that at others.
That's
than others.
True, right? Yeah. Wow. Well, generations, that's usually the story, you know? Yeah. In every generation, it's like we don't understand each other and people come up with new stuff. I mean, our parents, it's like when they saw the Beatles, they had a heart attack, you know? I mean, that wasn't like... You know,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't how people were.
Though that rock and roll music is going to ruin those kids forever.
I always say, like, you know, when, like, even with, let's say when I was, you know, younger, somebody wanted to ask me out, you know, and you're in high school or something like that, or even just be friends, they will call you and your father will pick up the phone.
Yeah. Mm.
So for them to hang out with you, there's so much effort. Then there's so many barriers you have to cross. The father, the mother picks up, or worse, your brothers, and then they start fucking with them, right? And then, you know, you get to even just talk to the girl. Now you just swipe her face on an app.
Yeah. I know.
And you can meet her later that day.
Yeah.
So weird.
That's, you know, but that's also because it's L.A., you know, there's just so many people. That people will just swipe. It's like, I'll find somebody else, you know? It's like, if you're in a small town and you're swiping, eventually you'll run out of people.
You're like, Bob again. Maybe this time I'll give him a try.
Yeah, or maybe I'll just change an app or move to another town, you know?
Yeah.
So, Laura, did you grow up here in Southern California?
No, I grew up in San Jose. So I grew up in tech world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And at what point did you move here? Was it with the family or afterwards?
I was 17. I was going to school. I came out, you know, graduated high school, popped down here, got an apartment, was ready to roll.
Really?
I never looked back. It's so funny now, too, because I know a lot of people whose kids, they stay at home until they're 20, 25 or more. And I was at 17. I was like, bye-bye. I got my license.
Exactly.
See you later.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I don't get that.
Yeah.
But so you moved here for what? Something specific?
School. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What school did you
go to? I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So you learned acting and theater and things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did that for a long time.
That's pretty cool. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You must have enjoyed it.
I did. I probably did it for 15 years, maybe, professionally. I did theater, and I did touring, and I sang, and I traveled. I went to Japan and all over the world. I did a play in Poland. Uh-huh. I mean, I did random stuff. I lived in New York, and I came back. So, yeah, I love doing theater. I did a lot of musical theater. A lot.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So you in the past few years of stuff that we haven't really seen each other, you've been I saw you were hosting some television shows or something, right? Video. Mm-hmm. And now what do you do now?
Now I work for KNX 1070 News Radio.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. And what do you do there?
I do traffic.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how cool. So you become so you understand everything about traffic. I mean, I could sit here for 2 hours. Talk to you about traffic.
You could,
so
but you wouldn't want to.
No, I don't. I can make it interesting. No, but that's a pretty cool station. How long have you been with them now?
Just about 4 months. Just
really?
About 4 months. Yeah, I was over the last couple of years. I did a lot of video series. I did some for myself, and then a lot of people picked that up and had me make video series for them. So I was working for different websites and different companies, and one of those companies was America's Funniest Home Videos. And so I worked with them for a long time, and they brought me on to do to their digital department, and I worked there for a year.
Really?
Doing like producing for their kids and family vertical, and I did a series, like an original series for them I hosted, and Excuse me. I was saying I have like morning voice. I don't know.
Do you want more water?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I sound more and more manly as this is going on.
It's okay. That's
and
what
then
Andy
would be like, and then I got the job. And then I worked.
Yeah.
And my career ended. No, I'm fine. So I was working there, and that was maybe a year ago. And then I started working at KNX after that. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
So how did you find out about that position? Did you just go around? Did you respond to
at KNX?
Yeah.
Well, I had done traffic before. I did traffic for iHeartRadio for like KFI and K-Talk when K-Talk was there and a couple other stations. So I did that maybe 10 years ago. And okay. I found this position came up at Intercom. And Intercom is sort of the new conglomerate. They've got all K-Rock and K-Frog and AMP and K-Earth 101 and all those stations and KNX. Uh-huh. So I just applied. But, the thing is, it's a very specific job. It's really like niche.
Yeah, right? Not only that, but it's like you can't. There's not that many positions like that,
No, there's not.
People do that, so.
Live anymore, too. There's really only two places that do traffic anymore. There's Intercom, which is really KNX, and then they have a Total Traffic, which is iHeart, which they sell out to stations all over.
I see. So there's really just two now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I would say there might be a couple of independent stations that have, or morning shows that have somebody that does it specifically there.
Right.
But even us, like, we'll do it for another station, for K-Earth or whatever. That's our people.
Right.
So.
And you do this during the morning drive?
Right now I'm doing weekends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is why I said Mondays are my Saturday. But
well,
yeah,
that's
so weekends.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things about traffic that you think about sometimes? I mean, I think about a lot of things.
I think it
traffic,
sucks is what I think.
No, that's true. But like, for example, do you think things are going to get worse or better as far as our freeways here?
I would say it's bad. It's always been bad. And I don't see any big improvements coming quickly.
Yeah.
I would like to think that people would get so sick of it that they would find other ways. I would like to think that we'll have more public transportation. But as you know, I mean, when I first started doing LA Talk Radio, excuse me, I would take the subway.
Oh,
down.
To downtown.
We would take the subway, yeah. And I remember that. It was good because you were pretty close, but it was still a pain in the butt. I mean, it was still like a whole thing to get there. So it's not, they don't have an easy answer for that that I can see.
Yeah.
But I think that people biking and doing the stupid scooters that I hate and, trying to do other walk. Yeah, or there's more work from home. I think if people start to do more remote work, that'll help a lot.
Yeah.
Because, why do you need 90% of the jobs? You don't need to go there.
That's
you
true.
Could do your show right here. You don't even need to be here. You could do it from home, both of you. And just do, some of the radio stations do that. They'll have the guy on Skype. Ryan Seacrest is in New York. He's doing KISS,
Well, but that's not fun,
You know, look at the bright side. I have a friend that without traffic, she would never call me. Ever. Whenever, every time, every day, the exact hour, I know she calls me
because
she's sitting in traffic and you know what? It's fine.
Yeah.
I got a friend that does that and I got another friend that calls me every time they walk their dog. So.
But do you think it's going to get worse though? I mean, you said you don't think it'll get better. Do you think it's going to get worse?
I don't know how much worse it can get. I would say.
Just stand still for the entire day.
I kind of feel like, they do freeway widening projects, for example. I know that they're talking about doing that with the 405 and the Sepulveda Pass. And then every time they do that, more people use it.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's going to get better. I don't think it's going to get worse unless we have a population boom in LA and no one can afford to move here now.
Right.
So I don't see that happening. So I think we're kind of, if anything, people are going to have to search out solutions that work better for them. I will tell you this. I've learned a couple things. This is my number one piece of advice for people. If you get a flat tire, if your car breaks down, don't get out of your car.
Oh, wow.
Don't
freeway,
do it.
I mean, right?
So dangerous.
Oh, my God. I see it every single time. Every single time. Person on the flat tire is sticking out in the side. Someone's getting out of their car. They get in a crash. They get out of the car. Unless you're standstill, traffic. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Get help. There's AAA.
Dangerous, huh?
Yeah, because 100% of the time, 90% of the time, that person will get hit.
Really?
Yeah. People are flying. They're not looking. They're texting. They're not paying attention.
Yeah.
They're not looking for you. So if you get out of your car somewhere where it's dark or you think, no one can see you. I mean, why would you do that? No one, think about the driver coming up on you. It's not going to be their fault. They won't be expecting you to be out there. So just don't be stupid.
Rather call the police and then they kind of block traffic. Yeah. Even for 15 minutes, you get what you need. And
well, say so what? So say you sit in your car, right, because it's conked out and you have to sit there and someone hits your car. You're a lot safer in that airbag filled metal box than you are standing there outside of your car. Yeah. Just don't do it. Don't be stupid. People, they macho up and they, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fix it myself. I'm not paying for it.
Change this tire in the
Don't do it. Don't do it. So that's my number one piece of advice.
So when someone, the police pull you over, usually you should maybe get off the freeway, right?
If you can. I mean, definitely get at least get far
except they sit
over.
There and start pressuring the shit out of you.
Yeah. Right. Like, oh, God.
On your tail, you know? It's like, man, when do you want me to pull over, you know?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. But I try not to be the pessimist, but I'm thinking that L.A. is probably going to get much worse. First of all, you said it's always been bad. True, but not this bad. And I remember when I moved here 40 years ago, the traffic was not like this at all. But that's 40 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been the same.
But the reason I think it's going to get worse is because look how many new cars are going on the road every day. I mean, it's like LA is full of brand new cars. You see them all the time. And older cars don't get off the road as quickly as they used to because they last longer. So you get all these cars there. It would be just like if you have people being born and nobody dying, you know? You'd have an explosion, a population explosion.
But there has to be people in said car.
That's true. But what I'm saying is...
Okay. They can't drive two cars at once.
No, but there are more people in this town, too. I mean, definitely. You know,
well, people used to pool more.
Yeah.
People used to just drive carpool? Together, carpool.
Yeah.
Yeah?
No.
No. Okay, that's not what you're saying. Okay,
people never carpool.
Not in LA, they don't. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I think with remote working,
we have a car culture.
Yeah, and I think more, dare I say, woke young people coming into the workforce and driving. I think they're going to be the ones to change it. It's not going to be us. We're too set in our ways. We like our car and our routine and our podcasts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your kids are. What you said? One just became a teenager.
Yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. I'm fine. I didn't expect to have a teenager. I mean, I knew I would, but you don't think about that when you're trying to have a baby. You're like,
they're
gonna grow up cute and how adorable, and you're like, I'm gonna have a teenager one day.
They're gonna grow up to be an asshole. like we were.
Yeah. My kids are not assholes yet.
Not yet.
No, I mean, I know they're going to.
Yeah, well, it's a phase. It goes away. It's like 2 year type of phase. I think.
Don't know. Sometimes it takes longer, but let me tell you something.
Do your kids listen to your show?
No.
Ah, there you go.
They know what they know who they are.
Oh, I was an asshole for sure.
Oh yeah. I did stupid.
But
stuff.
No, it's not being an asshole. It's just being. It's such a different generation that it's sometimes hard to get them to understand. That, listen, what I found out about the very young generation is not a lot of respect for older people.
Authority. You know, because they've been told wisdom, not to. You know? Right? They call their teachers. They don't say, Mrs. They call your friend, your friends. They call them Bob and Joe and whatever their names are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They don't call it Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so. And they're not, they were raised in a time where we were a lot less strict, a lot more friendly with our children, a lot more engaged in some ways with our children, but they haven't been taught the fear for authority, the being terrified by
But it's
by
not
adults.
Only that, it's like honor thy parents, you know what I'm saying?
Well, there's also a change in skill set. Now kids can become Insta-famous very young. They can make, a child very young can make more money than their father, their parents, and that whole power it changes the equation in a way, right?
Yeah, but
I'm not saying you shouldn't respect them or anything like that. I just say this generation, if you see, is just different. They make their own money. Not all of them, but some of them make their own money by just posting things. They can make their own radio show at 15.
Yeah.
But parents still have control over that, even though they like to think they don't.
Right.
They do. Because we have the Wi-Fi. We do the driving.
Yeah.
We have the money. If I can take that little device from you, I can take that or I can take your charger. I am in now control still.
Right. And then once they're 18, forget about it.
The new grounded is take your charger.
Yeah,
basically.
Seriously. Or just I'm just going to change the Wi-Fi password every day. That's what I'm going to do. I don't care. But a lot of parents think they don't. They're, oh, my kids, they just want to be on video games and on their phone all the time. I have such a hard time getting them off. I'm like, who's the parent? You say no. You unplug it. You take it away. I mean, you do have control. It's just that we're in this sort of weird mix between these hyper-controlling parents who were like, I'm going to beat the crap out of you if you don't do what I want, which is, you know, generational, and the parents who were like, hey, we're buddies, whatever you're feeling today,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
I think there needs to be
balance
there.
I think that's what I did in my generation, you know? It was sort of like, let's helicopter parents. That's what they call them, you know?
Let me tell you this, though. Like, I have a young brother and sister. The brother is 2 years old. The sister is six. Mm-hmm. And from a very young age, they're with the screens. I'm not saying the parents don't let them be with the screen. They can only have it like an hour a day with the phone and like an hour a day with TV. But it doesn't matter because from a very young age, your brain is exposed to all these stimulations.
Yeah. Right.
So it gets addicted to them. Like even as adult, we're addicted to our phones. So think about it. When your brain is still developing, you get addicted to these stimulation. And then it's is it your fault?
Right.
Well,
I don't know. They're doing what we're doing. You know, the kids pretty much. They're following what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on the phones all the time. You know, we're using the technology. We introduced them to it.
Yeah.
We sure did. And they're mimicking our movements. They pick it up and they do it like that.
Yeah. He's 2 years old. He does this.
Yeah, oh, he does.
They don't even know. They only know how a phone looks because of the icon.
Right.
Nobody has phones anymore. That's just the icon.
Yeah. it is definitely a scary time for that because we don't know where that's going to lead them as they get older. We don't really know. But I do know that technology can make parenting really easy.
Yeah.
You know, you can sit there at a restaurant, you can give it to your toddler, this or that. But then at some point, you got to teach your kid how to sit at a restaurant. You know, you got to teach your kid how to entertain themselves when they're bored. It's okay to have kids cry and fuss and throw a fit at you. My kids throw fits at me all of the time because I'm the meanest mom in the whole world because I'm really limiting with their electronics.
Yeah. But it's for them. They don't understand it.
They don't understand it. But then, you know, as my son's getting older, both of them, I also said, I can't pretend like they won't have to navigate that world. I can't pretend like they'll never want to look up things that I don't want them to see on a phone. So what I have to do then is sort of train them how to navigate the real world in a way that's, I think, slow and safe versus either have it all or have none of it. It's kind of going like, well, you will get a phone. Let me teach you how to be good on the phone and how to use it responsibly versus, you know, you can never have it. And then they're 18 and they're like, here, I got the phone. I'm gonna be here all the time looking at whatever I want. So,
yeah, exactly.
You also don't want them to be behind.
Right.
Right.
I mean, and their friends are on it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you say, he can't watch that on my phone. I'm like, yeah, but he's gonna go look over the shoulder of another friend and look at that kid's phone. I mean, you only control that part so much.
Yeah, that's true. One more thing I wanted to ask you is so you do your traffic. How do you get the information? How does it get to you?
I am a goddess.
Well, that we know.
I
but
like
that's
that.
That's beside the point.
I like
traffic,
that.
So Wonder traffic Woman. Comes from a lot of different sources, and that's part of my job is to figure that out. So I look at, CHP. I listen to the scanners. I look at Google and look at some of the, there are scanners on the freeways. You know, when you go to SigAlert or any of those websites, Google traffic, it's because there are actual sensors on the freeways that tell you the speeds that people are going. And so we get that information. And then my job is to sort of put that all together into what's important for you to know, what's not important for you to know.
Right.
I can process that information and go, okay, well, I see that there's a crash here, but I happen to know that the CHP is on the way. And it's just a small one, so they'll get it out of the way quickly versus that one where I go, oh, God, they spilled something on the freeway.
Oh,
that's going to be 2 hours. You know,
right.
So my job is to go, hey, this is a little one. That's a big one. This is unusual. This is usual.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of how we do it.
Yeah. And people may not. Well, actually, people probably like you because you give them advice and stuff, but also you bring the bad news, right?
I know. You know, people, they call me sometimes and they just want me to hear that they're upset.
Really?
You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm a mom. I get it. They're like, what is going on the 405? I've been sitting here for 5 hours. Why haven't you talked about it?
Oh,
and I'm thinking,
God.
I just talked about it 3 minutes ago, but sure.
Yeah.
And I just wanted them to go like, hey, it sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's
Nothing
terrible.
Nothing I can do about it.
You know, like, yes, you are right to be upset. Here's a couple of choices you could make. You could do this. You could do that. But overall, you know, you're kind of stuck in it. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That's what they want to hear. They just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Does it happen often that the traffic is stopped completely? I mean, sometimes it happens where the cops stop it completely.
Well, this weekend, they shut down the one for 34 and that's the two because there was a brush fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, brush fire? Because I heard like near the 710, there was like a huge truck that hit power lines or something. Is that possible?
Highly possible. Yeah. I mean, I laugh because my kids, I come home and I tell them what the best or the funniest little crashes were, the things that happened. Like, usually there are people who have been drinking and they do really stupid stuff. Like, this one guy got out of his car to pee and his car, he didn't stop it. So it went over a cliff.
Wow.
While he was using the.
At least he wasn't in the car.
No, nobody got hurt. So I kept going, what's up? That's weird that a car went over and they're not calling the ambulance. And anyway, so stuff like that. But yeah, the freeways do close down. At rush hour too, which is the worst. Yeah. I mean, it's usually big rigs, motorcycles, you know, unexpected things like fires. And then obviously if somebody dies, you know, they have to shut the freeway down because they have to investigate if they die on the freeway.
Yeah.
Not on the way to the hospital or something like that. So
now
we have that.
I think also, would you say that riding a motorcycle is pretty dangerous?
I would say, hell yeah, that's really dumb.
Because, and they drive between the lanes, you know, which you don't see them.
Yeah.
You don't expect them.
Actually, I talked to a girl that was driving a motorcycle, and she said one of her biggest problems as a rider is that people don't understand that motorcycles have the right to their own space in the lane.
Yeah, they get mad at them.
So cars would sometimes kind of, and that's illegal to do. They have a right just like a car. So if you see a motorcycle in the middle of
the
lane,
between the cars?
Not between. I'm talking about you have a lane,
and
in front you have a motorcycle. They have the right to have the space as if they were a car.
But
sometimes what cars do is that they do this. The cars, and it's very dangerous for them because they're so small. They're like, oh, they don't need all this space, but they do.
Yeah. It's dangerous. You
know, they ride like bullets. They're like missiles. That's how fast they go.
Yeah.
And they got nothing to protect them, you know?
It's just a recipe for disaster. Right? You've got distracted people on their phones who are, everyone's mad. Right, everybody just wants to
be home.
And so everyone's kind of grouchy about it. I see so many accidents that happen because of road rage.
Yeah.
People getting out of their cars and whacking people or hitting them with their cars or whatever.
What?
And I'm like, you guys, seriously, just take it down a notch. Everybody is annoyed. You know, everybody's mad. Okay, so fine. Just deal with it.
Right.
Put on your big girl panties and just drive the stinking 405. That's what I want to say.
Exactly. You know, I mean, the thing is, traffic is not, to me, it's not the individual cars. It's just one big thing, a living thing, right? And we're like little components in it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not going to matter if the guy cuts you off or you cut him off or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. In the scheme of things, it means nothing.
I feel like people take out all like their life issues in traffic. It's like they'd be, boop, boop, my father never treated me well. Boop, boop. Like, you know, like that's what I hear when I hear the.
They do. I mean, people get competitive. They get like offended. Anyway, guys, we're out of time. Laura Nickerson, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
How
it's
can
fun
people
to be here.
Find you and communicate with you? First of all, where can we listen to you again?
You can listen to me on KNX 1070 News Radio, AM 1070. You can also just follow me on Twitter at Nickerburger or on Instagram at Nickerburger. Those are the places you'll see me most active. And I'm on Facebook and everything. LauraNickerson.com. You can learn my whole life history there.
There you go. You see, that's all you got to do. Laura, thank you. Much continued success to you.
Thank you.
Always nice to see you again. I was glad you contacted me, or did I contact you? I don't know what happened, but
we
got together. Yeah, so you got back here. You're welcome back anytime, Laura.
Thank you.
All the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me again.
Of course. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk.